Welcome back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we have the pleasure today of having with us Pedro Costa, the winemaker at Avaleda in Penafiel. I hope I'm saying it correctly. Portugal. How are you, Pedro?
Very well. How about yourself?
Really good.
Hi, Pedro. Thank you for being with us today.
It's a pleasure.
We have been great fans of wines from Avaleda for some years now. And the theme of this program, we were talking about a cold supper. The weather here gets unbearable in the summertime. And so how to not heat up your kitchen, make cold supper, and you always want the wine to be cold. So the conversation became about Vino Verde and Albarino. And so, of course, the conversation turned to you. So could you talk for a few minutes about the winery and also about Portuguese wine culture and how those wines are used?
Yes, actually, I think that makes total sense because Vinho Verde is a very fresh and exuberant, easy to drink wine. So it's a perfect wine for summertime, I would say. The winery, Avaleda, this is a family company. It's been a family company since forever, but even though it's a family company, it's one of the biggest wineries in Portugal.
Forever is a long history, Pedro. Forever is a long time for being in the wine business.
Actually, forever may seem a little bit exaggerated, but it's been the property. Avaleda starts as a property, and the property has been in the hands of the same family for a few generations now. But since the family started the wine business, it's been five generations already. So even as a wine business, we can say it goes back 100 and some years. So it is quite a history already.
Very
making
cool.
Wine.
That's great.
How much do you guys produce?
Yeah. We produce. We reached the 15 million bottles barrier in 2013. It was the first time for the company.
That's staggering. How much wine do you sell in Portugal, and how much do you sell outside of Portugal?
It's about 30% in Portugal and 70% abroad. Big part of it is the States. One of the most important markets for us, definitely.
Well, the quality price ratio on your products are excellent, and they have been from the beginning for us. Tell us what is special about the property, and also tell us about the products that you all are making.
The Vinho Verde region in general is very close to the sea. We're situated in the northwest of Portugal, very close to the sea. And this is very important for the type of wine we produce. First of all, the climate. We've got a lot of rainfall, and we have a granite-based soil. Then the varieties that we use, which are local varieties, so it's not very easy to find similar wines in other places because the varieties are unique to our region. The climate is very, it's never too hot and never too cold. So the ripening happens very slowly, very nice conditions. And if you put all this together, we have the right conditions to produce wines. As I said at the beginning, they are very fresh, very easy to drink, very exuberant. That's the essence of Vinho Verde. That's the freshness and the easiness to drink, low alcohol. And of course, Avaleda reflects exactly that. That the wines we produce here have the reflection of what I just said. So we produce wines that are very easy drinking wines.
Besides Vinho Verde, what else are you all producing?
Well, we produce inside Vinho Verde. We have different layers of Vinho Verde, if I can say like that. I would like to highlight the Alvarinho, because Alvarinho is a special variety that we have here in the Vinho Verde region, also common in Rías Baixas in Galicia in Spain, which is a neighbor region of Vinho Verde. And this Alvarinho variety is normally tends to give a lower yield than the other varieties. We're talking about 40% lower yield than Loureiro, which is the most popular variety in the vinifert. And this makes that wine tend to be more concentrated, more complex, and therefore I would say Alvarinho is a step up on vinifert. It allows you to have more complex, more full-bodied wines.
Usually communicates the minerality of the site as well, too, no?
Yes, absolutely. It's the complexity of Alvarinho is incredible. And actually, these are wines that are very drinkable as they're young, as all vinifert. But this is actually a type of wine that you can actually age. If you like aged white wines, then you can actually age it for 5, even 10 years, and you'll have a very good surprise when you open the bottle. Apart from vinifert, we also produce wines in Bairrada, which is a wine region south of vinifert, still on the coast, so still getting all this influence from the sea, but the soils are different. And this is where we have a 20-hectare estate where we produce some reds, which are the Follies, based on Touriga Nacional. We have a Touriga Nacional 100% and a blend of Touriga and Cabernet. And then we also have a partnership in the Douro where we produce some wines from the Douro, which are Xaramba and Aveleda Douro, from a white Aveleda Douro.
I feel very foolish not knowing that you all produce Xaramba, because that was for the first restaurant that we opened in Baltimore in 1995. That was our house red wine.
Oh really?
Was the 1992 Xaramba? Yeah.
Wow.
So we've been a customer that long.
That must have been the second or third vintage of Xaramba.
Yeah. No, it was terrific. It was the best quality price ratio wine that we could find, and yeah. that's why it was our house choice.
Oh, that's great. That's really nice to hear.
I understand that you all are making cheese as well. I know the chef is very interested. What kind of cheese are you making in Portugal?
Well, we're not as the French. You know, the French say that they have a different cheese for every day of the year. I'm not sure we can say that, but we do have a lot of different cheeses that we produce in Portugal.
But are you making it on the estate, no?
Yeah. The Aveleda cheese is cow cheese, so it's made from cow cheese, pasteurized cow cheese. Cow milk, pasteurized. And we have two different types of cheese. We have one cheese that stays for 1 month in a drying chamber, mm-hmm. and this we call soft cheese. And then we have drier cheese, which stays for 3 months, and therefore it's a little harder and a little more concentrated on flavor.
The reason that I ask is because I can think of a few winemaking estates around the world where they'll make cured meat or they make olive oil, but I can't think of any other winemaking estate that makes cheese as well.
That's pretty unusual.
I don't know any. I don't know either. It's true.
You must have good land for cattle. Or the cows, that's probably why you're making the cheese, right?
Yes. We have, actually, the cheese story is very interesting, because we started producing cheese in a more serious way in the beginning of the 80s. And this was because the market for milk was not, the milk business was not being profitable anymore. So we had to take a decision, either, you know, sell all the cows, and we had a lot of cows, or start making something else with milk. And somebody came up with the idea of making cheese in a more professional way, and that's how the business appeared. But yes, traditionally in Vinved region, in the lower parts of the region, where you can have more fertile soils, we we have a big tradition of cereal planting.
Very
like
good.
Like corn and other cereals.
I would be curious to know what Portuguese dishes you prefer with your wines.
Wow.
I'm sure there are many, but I would love to hear about
many.
Some.
I think that white vinverde is perfect. I mean, it depends. It really depends, because if you're having a Casal Garcia, which is very, you know, very easy drinking, very light, you can have, for example, a salad, or even some, you know, some sea fruits, things like that. If you're having a Quinta da Valeda, which is the estate wine, it's a little bit more complex. It's very well balanced, but more complexity on the nose, a little bit more body on the mouth. Then you can go for, you know, some fish, some cod fish, of course, because we do have a different dish of cod for
every day of the year.
That we can say.
Yeah.
And Quinta da Valeda, I would say, goes very, very well with all sorts of dishes with cod. And then we have the Alvarinho, which we could even go a little further and pair it with white meat, for example, with chicken, things like that.
Mm-hmm. I will admit that I always want your Alvarinho for calamari, for cuttlefish, for octopus. Those kinds.
Yeah,
of,
absolutely. For example,
you know, just on octopus. The plancha or something.
Yes, octopus. It's a more textured animal. I think it would go great with the Alvarinho. Absolutely.
And with the reds that you all produce, what dishes do you like?
Well, it depends. For example, if you're talking about charamba, we can say it's easy drinking wine from the Douro, everyday wine. That's what we want to produce with this wine, a smoother approach to the Douro, not as concentrated, not as complex, much more fruit-driven, no oak. I would say, again, some white meats, some dishes of pork, things like that, with or turkey or even chicken, things like that. But if we're talking about the follies that we produce in Bairrada, these are wines that are long runners. These are wines that are made to last for I would say at least 10 years, and sometimes even more. When they're young, they have a more nervous tannin. I would rather choose beef, something like beef, red meat, for those wines while they're young. Then as they age, they get smoother. And they get more complex, I would probably go with some roasted dishes.
So
but that's just my suggestion.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
So the famous sausage, linguiça, what wine do you want for linguiça?
That's a very tough one. That's a very, very tough one. Probably something fresh, because linguiça is very spicy. So I'll probably go with a Casal Garcia, for example.
Very, very cold, right?
Yes, it has to be very, very cold, yes.
Well, Pedro, thanks so much for coming on the radio program with us.
Thank you very much, Pedro.
Sure.
I hope when we see you next, we'll be in Portugal.
That would be nice to see your vineyards.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you're always welcome to come here, so don't hesitate if you have an opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Did you enjoy talking to Pedro?
Oh, it was great to hear his story and how the land is and the freshness of that wine and how the sea affects it.
What winery makes cheese?
I was so excited that he makes cheese. That's amazing. I've never heard a winemaker say that they make cheese.
That's so the adaptive agricultural thing. It reminds me of two stories. One is there's a potato farmer in Maine who became a vodka producer because he could no longer get his potatoes to market at a reasonable price.
Wow.
So he started making vodka, which reminded me of the story of bourbon whiskey. The reason whiskey is grown in Kentucky is because there were farmers in western Pennsylvania in the 1700s that couldn't get their wheat to market in the east at a reasonable price because of tolls and everything else on rivers and on roads. And so they made the grain the wheat and rye and everything else into whiskey, which the barrels are much easier to ship.
Okay.
And you could take an entire field and it'll become 2-3 barrels and you get your money for it, right? Then the state of Pennsylvania decides to start taxing their whiskey.
Oh, no.
And so they all left.
Oh, gosh.
And went to Kentucky.
Where there were no taxes.
And Tennessee, where there weren't states yet. It's right around 1800.
Okay.
So
yeah.
That's just adaptive agricultural, but in a very American way, tax evading agriculture.
So it started in Pennsylvania.
Whiskey making in the U.S.,
that's really interesting.
It started in Pennsylvania.
I bet they were happy while they were making the whiskey.
I think that they were mostly in panic trying to get their product to market. So, I mean, I can imagine that Avaleva, those guys sitting around with, we have all these cows, we have all this pasture land.
Yeah.
We have milk to sell. What are we going to do?
Right.
What are we going to do? So I think a lot of times that's the story of the entire program. We're talking about cold supper. Why? Because it's hot. You adapt to the conditions and you enjoy that spot where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, thanks so much for listening to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
We'll see you next time.